'tis the season to be sneezing. We can do this. Three more sleeps. Let's go for it. So we're at Advent week 4, which gives us the opportunity to focus our thoughts on love. And as I've always said, if you're lighting candles, we light the angel candle or the candle of love, remembering how the angels announced the good news of a saviour. And we remember the verse from John 3:16 that God sent his only son to earth to save us because he loves us. And that is the miracle of Christmas. So over these last 4 Sundays, we've been thinking about different miracles. The first one was the miracle of the message. And then it was the miracle of the moment. The miracle of the method. So we've got one more M to go. Any thoughts? The miracle of the miracle? No. Where did they lay baby Jesus? The miracle of the manger. And so that's what we're going to think about today. And if you've got your ears open for the A's, you'll have to wait till Christmas Day. So as we now join our Advent prayers together, as we've been lighting the candles either here or at home. Dear God, as we began our Advent pilgrimage, grant us the courage to hope. Hope for your presence, hope for your peace, hope for your promise. As we journey down this Advent road, grant us the courage to make peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our homes, peace in our communities. In the height of our Advent walk, grant us the courage to experience joy. Joy in the face of apathy. Joy in the face of sorrow. Joy in the face of uncertainty. And dear God, as our Advent pilgrimage draws to completion, grant us the courage to share your love. Love for the unexpected challenge. Love for the vulnerable one. Love for the presence of God. Amen. And so we're joined together and sing number 493. O come, Emmanuel. Let's join together in prayer. Let us pray. All creation holds its breath. The time is almost here. The heavenly choir of angels waits for its cue to sing. Excitement is all around us. Prepare your hearts. The grace of God takes on human form. Good news. Emmanuel, God with us, comes to us. We gather to make ready our hearts for the coming of Christ, our hope. Light of the world, come. In this Advent season, we await the coming of Christ. Light of the world, come. Come to the oppressed and the exploited. Come to the despised and rejected. Come to all in whom the divine image is distorted. We wait in joyful expectation. Come not as a man of power, but in love and compassion. Come to the outcast, like the shepherds in the fields. Come to the foreigners, like magi watching from afar. Come to rich and poor, young and old, male and female. We wait in hopeful anticipation. Come to bless all creation with your love. Come to bring salvation on the earth. Come to rule with justice and in peace. Come, light of the world, illuminate our path. We wait with all the peoples on earth. Light of the world, we welcome your coming. We have waited for a long time for your hope, your joy, your love, to shine in the darkness of this world, Almighty God. Even now in our gathering here, we await you. In our hearts, we still hope that your light will blaze forth, banishing the shadows of this world and guiding all people back to you. You came as a tiny spark, a newborn baby, visible to parents and curious animals, a host of angels. Open our hearts, merciful God, to the sparks of your presence still in this world. Open our eyes that we might behold your presence in the least likely of places and among the least likely of people. God with us, kindle your spark within us, that together we may shine forth your light. We might banish the shadows of this world. We might be the continuation of the Christmas miracle. Emmanuel is in this world. God is with us now and forevermore. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Let's join together and sing 1086. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. So this morning we're going to look at John chapter 1, which is on page 1063 of your Bibles. 1063. And it begins with a clear, expressive description of Jesus as God. This chapter sets the stage for the rest of the gospel by giving us, the readers, a sense of who Jesus truly is and why he has come. And if you read the rest of the gospel, that's your homework for Christmas, then it's an exploration of the claims that Jesus made in this initial passage. And so I'll ask Diana if she'll come and give us our reading.
The reading is from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. And the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light for all mankind. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thank you. Right at the beginning of that reading, and we see Jesus described using the Greek word logos, meaning logic, word, order, or definition. Jesus is the message, the logic, the word of God. In describing Jesus, the prologue states that Jesus has always existed and has always been God. And yet, since he came in physical form, he was subject to all the physical struggles of a human man. Jesus is described as the light, an important concept in Hebrew philosophy. Much of Jesus' ministry, as described in John, is an illumination of human ignorance. Jesus constantly corrects mistaken concepts about God. So as we think about the miracle of the manger, we're going to think about what if he is who he says he is. But first, let's sing number 345, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. Let's pray. Father God, we come again and thank you for the miracle of Christmas, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And now, Lord, I pray that you would just open our hearts, shine your light into our hearts, the light of Christmas, that we would hear your word, and not just hear it, Lord, that we would be doers of your word. Amen. So as I said at the beginning of Advent, I've been trying to watch as many Christmas films as possible. I failed miserably last week. I don't think I saw one. I saw the back end of Home Alone 2 yesterday, but that was about it. But thank you to all those who have researched through the Christmas films to answer my question of last week, my deep theological question: how does Santa deliver all the gifts to all the kids in one night? Some of you will know that NORAD has Santa tracking, and you can track him on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. And he, according to them, he stays ahead of the clock by travelling west. That's the explanation. Now, I don't know about you, it didn't do it for me. It still doesn't answer my question. If any of you have seen The Miracle on 34th Street, Susan asks Father Christmas the question, "What's your name?" And he responds, "Kris Kringle," and then proceeds to tell her in various languages what Father Christmas is. So if I said to you, "Père Noël," which country is that? Okay. "Papa Noël." Spain, yep. I can actually also be France. "Weihnachtsmann." Jawohl. "Dead Moroz." Sounds like dead marrows, to be honest. But any advance on Mexico? It's getting harder now, you see. "Russia." It actually means Grandfather Frost. "China." Oh, close. Closer than Mexico. He's listening, yeah. Okay, then, for my back row. Yolupuki. Japanese. Any advance on Japanese? Honolulu. Give up? What?
Have we had it?
No, not yet. No, I'm waiting for a guess.
No, have we said it already?
No. Don't shortchange you like that. That's Finland. Who said I was just going to say that? Yeah. There's always that one in the family, isn't there? I was going to say that. That was my sister. Sinterklaas. Pardon? You have to remember I'm a bit deaf. Norway, Sweden, Iceland. Yes. Yeah, see? So although the modern version of Santa Claus is rooted in American mythology, it actually originates from the folklore tradition surrounding, as I said last week, the 4th century Christian bishop, St. Nicholas. And the character of Santa Claus has its roots in that Dutch tradition of Sinterklaas, or St. Nicholas, which was brought to New Amsterdam, which is now New York City, by Dutch immigrants in the 17th century. So the first recorded use of the name Santa Claus in print was in New York City in 1773. Who knew? And you're saying, what's that got to do with Jesus? But again, as it's evolved over time, Santa Claus with his sleigh and his reindeer evolved in the 19th century America as part of the country's efforts to create a new national mythology. And it actually spread out through World War II. So it's much more current than we actually probably may have thought. My niece sent me a picture of my great nephew seeing Santa Claus for the first time. He's one. And the awe in his little face as he saw Santa was amazing. His 5-year-old sister, not so sure. She's getting to that age now where she's like, yeah, right. I won't do what the vicar did before you worry about your young people. But, you know, I don't know what age it is, but, you know, we start to become sceptical, and we are part of a world and a society that has become very sceptical about many things. But it is good to be on our guard, as we know of people who make false and fraudulent claims. I think we'd agree that never have scamming and fake news been so prolific, thanks to social media. Yesterday was the shortest day. Hooray. I don't know about you, but I always think when it starts to get lighter, I can touch spring. Interviewing someone at Stonehenge, the lady said, "We're coming together to celebrate the returning light." And I thought, she is so near, yet so far. As we sang earlier, light of the world, you step down into darkness. It's good to ask ourselves questions about the miracle of Christmas, maybe for the first time, maybe for afresh. Who is this baby lying in a manger? Could he really be who everyone says he is? What if he is? John's Gospel describes for us in magnificent metaphor and poetic imagery this miracle of the manger. In John's telling of the Christmas story, he doesn't need to record the stable and the shepherds. Matthew and Luke have done that already. Instead, after much reflection, maybe another 30 years, he goes directly to the one who brought light to everyone, as we read in John chapter 1. And later, after his revelation that we read at the end of the Bible, given by Jesus Christ himself, John writes of a heavenly city and he describes the source of its light. We read in Revelation 21, "This city has no need of sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb is its light." This light source is Jesus, the same source that John referenced in chapter 1. And for those who inhabit this future dwelling, it says there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them. Isn't that a beautiful image? It's been nice today because the sun's actually shining. So it actually gives us an idea of, because when we have all that gloom and stuff, I don't know about you, I feel a bit like, meh. But today, as we see the sun and we think to the future of the sun shining, no need for sun or lamps. So if we asked ourselves the question, who exactly then is this child we find in the manger in Bethlehem, as we consider the birth and life of Jesus Christ, what have we come up with in our own minds? Did you say he's the light of the world? That certainly is some of Jesus' identity. Could he be who he claims to be? In verse 2 of Light of the World, it says, "King of all days, O so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above, humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor." As we consider again this miracle of the manger and the astonishing claims made regarding this child, into the humblest of circumstances, Jesus is born. His mother Mary, an ordinary young girl. His birthplace is a stable or a cave in a small, obscure little town called Bethlehem. Yet Jesus came, making astonishing claims that centered on his identity. He claimed to be sent from God, the Son of God, and even one with God. The angel announced to shepherds that the baby was Christ the Lord. During his ministry, Jesus claimed to be the Good Shepherd, the way and the truth and the life, the door, the bread of heaven, the living water. That alone that can satisfy our deepest hungers and our deepest thirsts. Jesus claimed the authority to forgive our sins and to offer freely his grace and mercy. He claimed to be the resurrection and the life, the only hope of escaping God's judgment, the only path to eternal life. Jesus claimed all authority in heaven and earth, and he promised to return to judge the world in righteousness. We indeed celebrate the returning light. Many are skeptical. Many more just don't get it. Others simply ignore the one who is grace and truth. Others would agree that he is a good teacher. A quote from C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity that I have used before, in his argument based on the idea that Jesus claimed to be God, and that if he wasn't, Lewis says, Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Either Jesus is the Son of God, or he's a madman, or worse. But his being just a good teacher, he doesn't even leave that open to us. So what if he is who he claims to be? Do we believe? How awesome when we do. The one who brings light into our darkness, who reconciled himself to each one of us, who wants a relationship with each one of us, who knows us inside and out. I believe this child in Bethlehem really is the miracle of the manger. And so it is decision time. It's a matter of eternal significance for each one of us. What we decide about this child born in Bethlehem not only determines our eternal destiny, it also determines our earthly direction as well. We cannot accept his claims without also recognizing that he staked his claim on our lives. If he is who he says he is, then all his promises are true. And most of the Old Testament promises were fulfilled in that miracle of the manger and will be completed when Jesus comes again. He really is the one who is full of grace and truth. He can give us a whole new reason to live and fill us with the fullness of his love, his life, his grace, because it means that it's all true. Do we believe? Each one of us must consider that question and answer for ourselves. It is Jesus Christ who is Lord and King. This miracle of the manger is God in the flesh. The miracle of the manger is that God became flesh and dwelt among us. He came not so he could send us to eternal punishment, but to set us free. Those amazing words in John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God became human so that we could become children of God. John writes in his gospel, but to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name. When you open your heart to Christ and trust him to be exactly who he claimed to be, you will not be disappointed. As we sang, light of the world, you stepped down into darkness, opened my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. As our lives reflect this light of the world, we open a window to the truly wonderful. Don't identify with what the world says. say and trust indeed in the precious, sure identity as a child of God, which can never change, and take your stand, speak the truth, and take your place in the kingdom of truth with our King of Kings. And then we can all pray together. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Amen. Let's pray. O come, Emmanuel. The light of God has come. Come and see. The light of God has come into our world to proclaim God's justice and love. It has overcome the darkness and brought new life. Come and follow. Christ, our companion, has redeemed our world. He draws us into a loving family from every tribe and family and culture. Go and tell. The Spirit has equipped us for service, to love our neighbours as we do ourselves, to bring God's salvation to the ends of the earth. Come and see. Come and follow. Go and tell. In God's love, the nations of the earth will put their hope. Amen. So we'll finish by singing number 588. Hail thou ever blessed morn, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Let's join together.
come, O come, Emmanuel. Go with us now into the world. We can begin again. Everything is about to change, so make everything new. Make us new. Reveal your glory in our lives and in the rhythms of our lives.
So that nothing will get in the way of your coming again. Amen.